Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And it's your last chance to get more fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this limited-time bundle ends June 30th. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Hello and welcome to the 291st edition of the Illegal Motion College Football Podcast. In Nashville, Tennessee, I'm the Professor Emeritus, Matt Perkins. And a fade route across the Harpeth River from me here in the Music City, it's our own offensive coordinator, the coach, Corey Burton.
And it feels great to be back in the saddle again, guys. Season 8, can you believe it?
No, I cannot. I cannot. So, but we cannot get started without the third amigo in the second city, a man who knows that all is not okay in Oklahoma. It's our intrepid blogger from Big Ten and Counting, Josh Cook.
To be back, nice off season. I can't remember. Did anything happen? Any conference realignment stuff we missed?
Did anyone transfer between schools?
Oh, wait, Conference USA imploded.
The Big Ten is now 16.
Is that why, Matt, you chose the Coosa to preview, because there's nobody left?
Pretty much. Yeah, because there is no conference left to take care of. No, we are back for season 8. I can't, guys, freaking episode 291. I can't believe we're here. This is incredible. Incredible. You know, this is sort of how we all got started in this podcast game. And it's we've come a long way, baby, and we still have a long way to go. But we want to send a special shout out to our title sponsor, that is betonline.ag. They are the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports, contests, and events with first-to-market odds and lines. Find reviews and news for every league, including Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, esports, and even golf. BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all your sports information in live in-game betting, props, and futures. So head on over to BetOnline today. Use your mobile device to join and make your first sports bet. And use our promo code BELIEVE50, that's BLEAV50, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. Well, gents, the 2022 season is starting here in a couple weeks. I can't believe it. We are sitting here on Tuesday, August 16th. I believe Vanderbilt against Hawaii, week 0, is on the 27th. So all, you know,
Commodore Nation. Is that Vanderbilt's bowl game?
Yeah, they wanted to get it in at the front end because they knew they weren't going to be eligible in December.
Perfect.
That is true.
So, gents, we're going to get into our yearly previews, and we're going to go conference by conference, trying to keep things tight this year. We're going to have 10 minutes in each conference, and we are going to go from there. One leader in each conference. So I am going to go ahead and take the ACC. And in the ACC, gents, we might as well start over in the Atlantic. And Josh, on our text the other day, you mentioned that I am crazy because, well, A, yeah, I am crazy, but B, because I picked North Carolina State and I am always drinking the Kool-Aid. So what is wrong with my pick, Josh? Both of you guys think Clemson is going to win the Atlantic. Tell me why I'm crazy to pick Dave Doran and the Wolfpack.
Well, Josh, for me, first.
I was going to say, for me, it's two things. The first is Clemson's defense is going to be out of this world.
Okay.
And the NC State Clemson showdown is in Clemson. So I will fully admit I'm gambling that DJ's making that jump. I've got Clemson, NC State, a very clear 1-2. I think they're a level above the rest of the teams in this division. We'll talk about that as the show goes on. But for me, it's 55-45 Clemson. I'm just going with that home field and the defense.
Coach, talk about what makes Clemson's defense so good. I agree with Josh. It's the best in the conference.
Yeah, I mean, it starts with Miles Murphy. He's the best pass rusher. They get so much pressure with their front seven, it's unreal. So,
not even front seven, front four. I mean,
yeah, the front four is one of the best in the country, and that helps. You know, if you can mm-hmm. If teams can't score, they're going to have a hard time winning. And if NC State can't score on Clemson, they're going to have a hard time beating Clemson. So, to me, it was defense, defense, defense. I think Cade Klubnik is going to win the quarterback job.
Do you really? Is that what they're saying coming out of camp? I mean, that would honestly surprise me. I know he's a big touted five-star freshman, but like, well, so was Big Cinco.
We know what we got.
I don't know if we do. I don't know if we do because I think their offensive line is so atrocious. It's been so bad, and that is why personally
he showed what he had. So, you know, maybe he's out playing him in camp, but. Maybe at the end of the day, maybe that last scrimmage, but it's going to be neck and neck.
Well, so for me, the reason I'm taking NC State here for a couple of reasons. One, I think NC State has the best line in the conference. Yeah, you guys know how much I love offensive line play. And yeah, guess what? They lost the first offensive tackle taken in the draft. Doesn't matter. They bring back the entire rest of the line. They are absolutely stacked. Bryson Spies is making the switch over to left tackle to cover for Ike Ekwonu, who obviously was top 10 pick in the draft. Grant Gibson, one of the best centers in the country, quite frankly. I really, really love this offensive line. But this division also probably would have been a little bit more interesting if it hadn't been for the unfortunate news about Sam Hartman. And that's a Wake Forest quarterback, you know, one of the best quarterbacks in the country, you know, statistically one of the best returners in the country. And he's had to take a sort of an indefinite leave of absence from football for personal reasons. And so we obviously wish him all the best. It's a shame for Wake Forest because they have an A.T. Perry, one of the two best wide receivers in the entire mm-hmm. conference, and it's going to be tough, you know, and Sam Hartman, you know, he's just an extension of Dave Clawson on the field. And I really worry about this Wake Forest team without him, but they still have a fair bit of infrastructure around him at the bottom of the conference. Boston College, I was higher on a couple weeks ago before Christian Mahogany. Apparently it's written Mahogany, but pronounced Mahogany. Their potential All-American.
Rich Mahogany?
Apparently, no, the guard for Boston College. Apparently, he was a potential All-American. He's injured. He's out for the season. That's going to be really crippling for them. I don't know if Djurkovic's going to stay healthy. But, Josh, you are actually higher on Florida State than you. Both of you guys are actually much higher on Florida State than me this year. So, Coach, what is it that you see in Florida State? Why do you think that they're going to be able to take a step forward?
They just keep improving every year. I mean, Jordan Travis, I think, is going to take that next step. They return, you know, seven starters on offense, six on defense. They return their entire specialty unit. I mean, they just, you know, and a lot of the skill guys are coming back. They return a lot of linemen. I think it's just getting some of those other guys out, getting some of those Willie Taggart guys out, and you know, I think with another year of Mike Norvell's recruiting, it just I don't know. And they start off with Duquesne.
I will say, speaking of recruiting, Luke though, speaking of recruiting, Coach, that Florida State got maybe the single best player in the entire transfer portal in Jared Verse, who was an edge rusher from Albany. Yes. He was basically FCS Will Anderson last year. I mean, it statistically, he was just completely, completely dominant. And so I can see him replacing Jermaine Johnson, who was outstanding for them last year.
Micaiah Pittman, somebody to look out for on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah, at the wide receiver position, he had the transfer from Oregon. He should be good.
Derek McClendon on the other side, rushing the passer. is somebody also to watch out for the Noles. I mean, when history says when the Noles have two really good pass rushers, they're usually pretty good.
Yeah.
So
for
we'll
sure.
see if that holds up. For
Josh,
sure.
you want to add something to that?
No, Coach, the big ones for me, Travis bringing that continuity and then seven starters back on defense. So you guys just highlighted them. So, yeah, I wouldn't say I'm necessarily high of Florida State. I mean, I picked them to finish fourth in the division. I don't think they have a chance making the title game at all. Mm-hmm. But I think they're a secure bowl team. I mean, there's 105 bowls. You're telling me Florida State can't get in one of them?
That's true. I think I'm a little bit higher on Louisville than you guys are just because I really like Malik Cunningham as a quarterback. But I want to hop over to the Coastal. Pitt for us, or at least for Josh and myself, we're really high on Pitt personally. I think Keaton Slovis is going to pop in there. I don't really care that Jordan Addison is gone. I think he's going to be really good, and I love their defense. I love their line. But, man, you talk about defensive line earlier, Josh. Kalijah Kancey at Pitt is one of the best in the country.
Yeah, I mean, Matt, like, you hit all the things that we love about Pittsburgh. I mean, they still have a great wide receiver room. Their offensive line might be one of the best in the entire nation. Seven starters back on defense, and then they have one heck of a transfer. I've seen Slovis plenty of times back at USC. He's the real deal, I think.
Yeah, he absolutely
and
is.
And I think some of it, honestly, is Pittsburgh's sort of a weird program in that they play in a half-full pro stadium each week, and they are a private school in a massive city. It doesn't feel like they should have a good college football program. They used to back in the 80s, and now they
70s,
do again
yeah.
now. I think if
Tony Dorsett ain't walking through that door.
Yeah, I mean, if you had said, think about a different team. If you had said, hey, Clemson has a game-changer transfer portal quarterback, a great wide receiver group, one of the best offensive lines in the country, and seven starters back on defense, everyone would say, oh, yeah, they're going to the college football playoffs.
Yeah.
It's just with Pitt, there's doubters.
Yeah, for sure. Coach, you think the U is back?
I think so. I think Cristobal Ball is the right guy.
I'm not disagreeing with that.
He has a perfect storm with Tyler Van Dyke, too, at the quarterback position. You have, again, a bunch of starters coming back, seven on offense, not as many on defense, but I mean, maybe that's a good thing. So, you know, Charles DeRambo is gone for Miami. They're going to need some receivers to kind of step up.
Yeah, they got, you know, they snagged Frank Ladson from Clemson, who I think is going to be an impact player for them.
Man. And then
if we're going to talk about Tyler Van Dyke, though, we got to bring up the fact that I don't love his name change. He wants to go by Tyler Goatee this year.
Tyler Goatee. I thought you were going to say he wanted to go by Dick Van Dyke.
I thought he was going to go by Tyler Muttonchops. No, but looking lower down in the conference, though, for me, my favorite pure player in the conference is Virginia quarterback Brennan Armstrong.
He's my offensive player of the year, by the way.
He's my offensive player of the year, too, for sure.
It was Sam Hartman.
In my notes, I have next to him – the real deal. Yeah, he's
the real deal.
He's awesome.
He's a dude.
You know what? He guys, who's the quarterback from my favorite professional team? Josh Allen. He's college Josh Allen.
College Josh Allen, huh?
He is. No, he is college like Josh Allen like this season right now. I think he's able to do more with less. I'm excited to see what he can do with new coach Tony Elliott calling the plays. I think their wide receiver room is sneaky deep. I love their offense. I think their defense is going to be atrocious.
They need that O-line to gel. I think they have all brand new starters.
Five new starters.
I might be inclined to move them ahead of UNC now that I think about it. I think UNC might get them in their matchup. Like I think it's going to just come down to when Miami plays Pitt. I think Miami's going to beat Pitt.
And that's Coach. North Carolina has a brand new defensive coordinator who is a national title winning coach.
head coach.
Gene Chizik.
Gene Chizik, yes. Fresh off the SEC network. He hadn't coached in 6 years.
Last seen leading Auburn to like a 2-10 season.
Coach, longer than that if you look at his end at Auburn.
That's true. He hadn't coached in 10 years. He got fired 6 years ago, but he hadn't coached in 10.
Oh, Lord. Okay, so personally, I have NC State as the eventual ACC champ. Josh has Pitt and Coach has Miami. None of us have Clemson. So
I'm going with Miami upsetting Clemson in the title game. It's a bold prediction.
Well, Josh has Pitt over Clemson. Josh has Pitt over Clemson in the title game.
Well, I was looking at Clemson's schedule. They don't really play anyone with a high caliber offense. I think they might get a little surprised. I think their defense is phenomenal, but I think they're going to be going into that game thinking that they are the 85 Bears when their numbers will be slightly inflated by their schedule.
About Brendan Armstrong. He's a left. He's a lefty.
Yeah. He's a 6 foot. Yeah. And he's 6 foot four.
Left-handed college version of Josh Allen.
Okay. So, Brennan Allen, Offensive Player of the Year. I mean, Newcomer of the Year is definitely going to be Slovis. Josh has him for Offensive Player of the Year. For first coach fired, I've got Jeff Collins. Josh has a third of the conference.
I got a Black Friday in ACC land. I got Jeff Collins, Scott Satterfield, and Dino Babers all gone.
I think Collins is done during the season, which is why I've got Georgia Tech like 1-9, and they are getting him out of there before Tony they go.
How'd you like my rookie of the year?
Your rookie of the year, Tony Elliott. Yeah, I don't know how that's gonna go, but you know, we'll see about that. I don't know if he's on the field.
Is he technically a rookie?
Is he a player coach?
No, but he is new to the conference, and I think if Virginia sniffs a bowl, you got to give it to him.
They're going to sniff that bowl?
What's that bowl I smell? That's nice. Geoff Collins for sure. So are they going to fire Geoff by walking into his office, grabbing his Waffle House mug and slamming it on the ground?
They have to shatter it in front of him, and that is, he all of a sudden awakes from the dream that he's been the Georgia Tech head coach for the last 3 years, and he walks out that door.
Here's the next few years of Geoff Collins' life. Goes to Alabama as an analyst, then becomes an Alabama coordinator, and then he'll get a job at about FAU, and then in a few years, he'll be Missouri's next coach.
Oh, a
few years.
All right. Well, we're not going to Missouri yet, but it is time for us to exit the ACC and head over, Josh, to our home conference of the Big Ten. Josh,
from sea to shining sea.
Well, yes, which is now from sea to shining sea. They are now spanning from literally, not New York, but Piscataway to Los Angeles, everyone's favorite route. Ooh. And Josh, take it away, man.
All right. Well, I'm going to fly through these. Matt's decision of not actually getting his final standings, but from worst to first in the East, I got Indiana. I think they're going to be better talent than last year, but their schedule is totally grueling. Then I got Rutgers, who I think some people think there's buzz there because they made a bowl game last year, but they actually went 5-8. And their offense was awful last year. Then I have Penn State, which is a little bit lower than most people, but we are in 2 years of decline now. And who are they turning to replace their best assistant coach and coming in to run their defense? Manny Diaz. Does he solve any problems or does he create problems? I don't know. What say you guys? Let's pause for a little Manny Diaz debate.
Manny Diaz solves.
There's not much debate. He's just not very good.
Yeah, I was going to say Manny Diaz becomes the answer of which coordinator hire led to James Franklin's eventual firing at Penn State.
All right. Well, then let's talk about a team with a lot of buzz. I'm curious your opinions on. I've got them finishing third in the division. It is Mike Locksley's Maryland team. Tons of buzz. They made a bowl game and won a bowl game last year. I'm joining the parade. They have a fantastic offense. Their new defensive coordinator, Brian Williams, inherits seven starters, and their schedule has some decent crossover games that I think they can take advantage of.
Okay. Let me go ahead and take this one, Coach.
Take it.
Josh, I like Talia Tagovailoa as much as the next guy. Mm-hmm. Josh. Mm-hmm. What happened the last time we saw Mike Locksley as the head coach of a team?
Hey, they won a bowl game last year. They had
good job. They did win a bowl game last year. That is correct.
Have you seen their schedule though?
Oh, their schedule is, I mean, their out of conference schedule is
they should go 3-0 out of conference.
I just
their crossover is hosting Purdue, which Purdue's a nice team. We'll talk about Purdue here in a moment, but that is a whole lot better than some of the teams you could cross over. They get Northwestern, who I have as the worst team in the league.
Yes, they are the worst
team. As a crossover. And they host Rutgers.
Their defense, though, is so bad. Their defense is so, so, so bad. The only unit they have that is even maybe league average, like maybe like 40th percentile, is their corners. Besides, like, their defense was decimated by transfers and graduation. They're going to give up 40 a game. They're going to give up 40 a game.
So then they better score 42.
Okay.
A game.
Okay. Like, I just
which they might be able to.
That's true. They might be able to, but I don't see that happening consistently enough for them to finish fourth. I am perpetually drinking the Rutgers Kool-Aid. It's literally in my blood. One of my favorite transfers in the entire conference, JD Dorenzo, the offensive lineman from Sacred Heart, two-time All-American, headed to Rutgers. He is going to be an absolute menace. One of my favorite guys that I've gotten a chance to get up on in the offseason.
That's what she said.
There we go. All right.
I'm in good shape here.
Rounding out the division, I took the cowardly way out and have Michigan and Michigan State ending in a tie, essentially, in the standings, one game behind Ohio State. Both of them are phenomenal. I think there's a real possibility either one of them goes 11-1 with their one loss being the Ohio State. Real simple. They are the most talented offense in the league, quite possibly the most talented offense in the entire country. And their defense was, quote, down last year, but was actually statistically still pretty good. I think you'd have to be insane to not pick Ohio State.
Yeah, I don't know how you don't pick Ohio State either. They have I'd say pure talent. I mean, strip away position. Jaxon Smith-Njigba is probably the second best football player in America after Will Anderson at wide receiver at Ohio State. C.J. Stroud would be my pick to win the Heisman, even though Bryce Young returns. C.J. Stroud's probably the guy who's going to win the Heisman. I just don't. They're so talented. They're so good. The schedule, it doesn't matter who they play when they play. They're playing Notre Dame this year. That doesn't matter. They're going to absolutely beat the piss out of them. So.
All right. So Big Ten West, let's fly through this because we're tight on time. We got Northwestern. I got them going winless in the league. They're terrible schedule and rebuilding. Nebraska, I know there's a lot of hype about Casey Thompson and Mark Whipple, the new quarterback, the new OC, brand new faces all over the rest of the field and a whole bunch of new coaches. I stick a fork in Scott Frost. I don't have this team doing much. Illinois, I have making a bowl game. I think Tommy DeVito is the difference between 5-7 last year and 6-6 this year as he escapes Dino Babers. Purdue, I've got as the first of the real contenders for this division. Their offense is fantastic. fantastic, but they have co-defensive coordinators. That's red flag number one. They have Ron English calling the plays. He's the fourth different play caller in 4 years. That's red flag number two. They're switching schemes to the 4-2-5. I don't know if they've been recruiting to run a 4-2-5. So that's red flag number three.
That is
three. But Purdue's got a lot of hype. Where are you guys on the Purdue train?
I am. Aiden O'Connell is clearly the second best quarterback in the conference. And there is a big step down between him and who's ever below him. I think he's
Coach.
Far and away the second most talented quarterback in the conference.
Yeah, I think, but that's only going to take you so far. I think switching defensive schemes and them not being able to stop anybody, I just think they're going to have a hard time trying to win shootouts.
And losing Karlaftis, who was their defense. They could build, he was one of those rare, defensive lineman edge types that you can literally build a defense around a la J.J. Watt and the Texans in 2015.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm with you there.
So, all right, so finishing third, my Hawkeyes, they are basically the same team that they were last year. The difference is their schedule's way tougher. Their crossovers include Michigan and Ohio State.
And Brian Ferentz, we don't trust.
Yeah. Second place, I got Wisconsin. I've got them as an A-plus defense with an amazing running back. Terrible quarterback, no receivers, they got a tough path ahead. They have road trips to Ohio State, Michigan State, and Iowa, and that leaves. I'm crazy. The Golden Gophers.
You're freaking nuts. You are absolutely, positively, without a doubt. Josh, I am very concerned about your mental health. Do we need to call in a specialist?
I'm reverse jinxing Minnesota, Matt. Maybe I'm playing four-dimensional chess.
Okay. No, what you don't see, Matt, what you don't see from Josh's obviously really tight frame here is that he's actually sitting in a rowboat right now. It's autographed by PJ Fleck. He is rowing the boat right now.
All right, can I explain my method?
He has bought so much stock into Tanner Morgan. He's bought every share. Sure. We can't buy any.
Hey, you know what?
I got a minute left. Let me explain the method to my madness.
Defend yourself, Josh.
They brought back offensive coordinator Kirk Ciarca. He took a one-year sabbatical.
Rather have a Volkswagen Scirocco.
He was great 2 years ago. I think that'll fix a lot of the offensive issues that we saw last year. I think they've got a more reliable offense than Iowa and quite possibly Wisconsin. What I also like, too, is the Minnesota schedule is much easier than Wisconsin or Iowa. That's what Iowa took advantage of last year. It's Minnesota's turn to have the much easier path. All right, accolades. I think we all have the Ohio State as our champ.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
My offensive player of the year, if I've got Maryland being as good as I think they're going to be, I got Tags being offensive player of the year.
I've got Jackson Smith and Jigba breaking every single receiving record that has ever existed in college football, and
we got a all right becoming defensive player of the year clean the sweep. Yeah,
for I got Stroud. If he's gonna win the Heisman, he's definitely gonna be offensive player of the year.
Defensive player of the year clean sweep for Nick Herbig.
Yep.
I've got PJ Fleck winning coach of the year because I kind of need him too.
I'm all aboard Rutgers, of course. So I've got Shiano as my coach of the year.
Yeah, I took the cop out and said Ryan Day is going to be coach of the year because he's going to be Big Ten champ.
That's what the SEC does. The Big Ten likes to give it to the overachiever coach. Rookie of the year, I have
Casey
Tommy
Thompson.
DeVito.
I think Casey Thompson is going to put up big numbers at Nebraska. That's not going to translate to wins, but he's going to put up big numbers.
Penn State's going to be behind in a lot of games. You're going to be throwing a lot. That means Mitchell Tinsley, the Western Kentucky transfer, who was ridiculous last year with as the number two receiver in Western Kentucky system, had awesome numbers. He's going to be even better at Penn State. He is going to put up awesome, like first team all conference numbers.
And I'm calling it only because they're going to get the news out faster. They're gonna be first to report it. Not necessarily that nobody else is gonna fire anybody, but I think Indiana is gonna cut loose Tom Allen. I think that experiment ends if they finish dead last behind Rutgers.
He's taken them to too many bowl games. They give him several more years. It's gonna be Scott Frost.
Yeah, I agree. It's absolutely gonna be Scott Frost. So we are going to then head now into the SEC, which means it's time to head over to our SEC insider, the host of the Believe in Georgia Dogs podcast, the coach, the legend, Corey Burton.
What up, guys? Okay, so the SEC, I'm going to start with the East. I'll be real quick so we can have some discussions here. I'll even give my – well, we'll wait till the end to give superlatives. But my SEC East shakes out like this. My Dogs are going to win it for one more year. I think they have – at least one more year of a chokehold on the East before Tennessee becomes powerful enough to give them hell. I think Tennessee's going to be a close second. They're going to lose that game in Athens to Georgia for the Eastern Division title in late November. Kentucky's going to finish third. Florida is going to finish fourth. They just don't have enough firepower right now. I think Mullen didn't do a good enough job recruiting and filling the cupboard, although AR-15 is pretty damn good.
Well, he doesn't want to be called that anymore.
Well, remember? Anthony Richardson.
Yeah, Anthony Richardson, number 15, Anthony Richardson on the Florida Gators.
Yes. So, but he does have a rifle attached to his arm, as you see in the Manning Passing Academy. He threw it like 150 yards. Not really, but he threw it a long way. South Carolina finishing fifth. I think they're gonna be held, but they're just not there yet. Missouri is going to be abysmal, and I think Vandy much of the same. And that game between Mizzou and Vandy might be played like a bowl game to see who doesn't finish last. All right, over in the West, I like Bama finishing first. I'm probably unlike others. I'm going to pick Ole Miss to finish second in this division. I think Texas A&M just perennially overachieves. I think they have too much talent. But they're like the Jim Don and Georgia Bulldogs. They have NFL talent all over the place, but they just somehow finish 8-4, 9-3 every year. So I think much is going to be the same for the Aggies. They finish third. Arkansas finishes fourth, almost third. I think they lose a close one to Texas A&M. LSU comes in next, followed by Auburn and Mississippi State. That is my SEC. I think the Dogs get the best of Alabama this year in the title game. Call me a homer. I don't
Homer.
Care. Homer. Don't.
But that's okay. So, that's okay, coach. I think for me, at least what's the most interesting to me is who's number 2 in the East, right?
Which is Tennessee, I think.
I think it's Tennessee. Well, I think there's a really strong argument to be made for Kentucky. And
there is.
I think the argument for Kentucky is that they are, while they do not have the ceiling that Tennessee does in terms of, you know, the offensive upside, maybe they're.
I think changing coordinators,
is so much high. Their baseline is so much higher and consistent on a week to week basis.
And Matt, you know what sticks in my mind with the Tennessee Kentucky debate. And I just can't get it out of my mind. And when I was making this pick, I was like, I just can't stop thinking about this. Tennessee had 13 minutes of time of possession compared to 41 minutes. And they won like 42-14 uh-huh. last year against Kentucky. Like that sticks in my mind.
Yeah.
And most of those guys are coming back. Yeah. Cedric Tillman's going to be a beast for Tennessee. Hendon Hooker, arguably the most talented quarterback in the conference, not named Bryce Young. So I just think, you know, Josh Heupel is proven that he can have a explosive offense and start a little defense as well. So that's why I gave him the nod.
Josh, you're higher on South Carolina than both coach and I are. Can I ask why?
Why? Because they had the best hype video of the offseason. I wanted to reward their commendable efforts of doing the parody of the Full House theme.
It was honestly, it was pretty incredible. Coach, have you seen it?
I have seen it. I think I sent it to you.
No, I sent it to you guys.
You sent it to us?
Yeah, absolutely. They did.
I sent it to you guys.
I just think Florida has like slightly more depth than South Carolina in that regard.
Yeah, for me, I was joking about the video, but it actually is a little bit. I just think they've really bought in to the message Shane Beamer's setting out there. I think they are playing hard for him, and they ended up winning a bowl game, and they clearly cared about being there. They drubbed North Carolina in the Duke's Mayo Bowl. So I'm just kind of looking at it in terms of they're better as a team than the sum of their parts. It's just kind of that intangible quality I like about the game.
In Rattler, I do not trust.
Yeah, that's my problem, is that I don't trust Rattler.
That is true.
The defense.
He played along well enough to be in the video.
The defense is okay, but the offensive line.
Oh, no one plays defense in the SEC.
But the offensive line, Josh, is so bad. It is so awful. Like, they're not. They can't block. Like, I think Vanderbilt might have a better offensive line than South Carolina.
Vanderbilt doesn't have anything better.
Okay, yeah,
that might be a little hyperbolic.
Okay, but that might be a little bit wishful thinking on my part as a Vanderbilt season.
The only thing that Vanderbilt has that's better than South Carolina is their GPA.
Well, also the ticket prices. I was able to. My wife and I got. We spent a little bit extra money this year to get the cushion and seat back in our season tickets. So, because we know they're not going to score like ever. So we're not going to be standing for touchdowns. So we figure if we're going to be sitting on the bleachers for just, you know, 3.5 hours every Saturday, we might as well have a little bit more cushion.
You ain't staying past halftime. Shut up.
No. I'm not getting there until halftime because I'm stumbling in after being in Vandyville for six hours.
Those are facts. So I've noticed that I don't know if I'm just on crack or whatever, but I'm higher on Ole Miss than you two. Mm-hmm. I noticed Josh was way higher on Arkansas. I can see that. I love KJ Jefferson.
Their defense
is freaking disgusting.
My issue with Arkansas, Coach, though, I'm like, dude, Treylon Burks was so special for them. Dude, I don't trust Jaden Hazelwood. Do you? Like, how many times does he have to not live up to who he's supposedly been? Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me. This is like time four. Like, I'm not getting fooled. I'm going to pull a George Bush up. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, don't get fooled again. And I'm worried about the offense without Treylon Burks, who was a one man wrecking crew for them. Mm-hmm. He opened up that entire running game by being able to be a deep threat, and 50-50 balls turned into 80-20 balls.
Exactly. And I think that, you know, the reason I have him fourth, which it's such you could flip a coin from like 2 to 5.
I completely agree in the West that it is like, for me, a group I'm in, we go through and we pick every single game in the SEC for the entire season. And, you know, it's freaking tough out there, man. But yeah, you could tell me that anyone, Texas A&M, Arkansas, Ole Miss, or Mississippi State was to finish second behind Alabama, and I wouldn't be surprised.
Like, I wouldn't be surprised about Auburn either. I mean, Auburn's pretty bad, but
Auburn, I did a dive on their defense last week, man.
Defense is disgusting.
Their defense is good. Like, their defense has so many good pieces, including my man Donovan Kaufman. Like,
I'm just not sure that their offensive line can hold up and protect whoever it is going to be starting for them at quarterback. I have a hard time taking, even though he beat Alabama, I have a hard time taking Zach Calzada seriously.
No.
But the reason I have Ole Miss number two is because they got they freaking cleaned up in the transfer portal. And one of the, and two of those guys, one of those guys was Michael Trigg at tight end.
Yeah.
Who he gives me a very faint Kyle Pitts vibes. And then Jackson Dart is just, he's just running away with that job. And he's just talented.
Was it ever even a competition though, coach? Like, come on now. Like,
well, no, I mean, Luke Altmyer gave him a run.
Okay. Okay. Anyone who watched Jackson Dart last year knows that he's the freaking truth, dude. Like, Jackson Dart can freaking play.
There's some intangibles that Luke Altmyer brought to the table that gave him a chance.
Okay.
I don't think anybody ever thought that he was going to start over Jackson Dart, but he made that race a lot more interesting than people thought.
I'm hitching my wagon to Jackson Dart. Like, out of that entire class, even over Caleb Williams, I would actually rather hitch my wagon to Jackson Dart. I think Jackson Dart is that good. And you know what? I actually really like Mississippi State a lot. Like, I think there's a lot to like about Mississippi State this year too. Like,
there is.
Once again, right? SEC West is loaded. We haven't talked about the team that I have finishing second, Texas A&M. They just have so much freaking talent. Like, I don't even if they're not well coached,
and
like,
they underachieve.
And it doesn't.
They're going to slip up. Like, you can't slip up and underachieve in this division.
That's true.
You're going to take two big L's, and it's going to be because everyone's going to take an L to Bama.
I'm worried about Ole Miss's defense. But when it comes to awards, a couple things. A, like Will Anderson.
They've got some dudes.
Will Anderson is far and away the defensive player of the year. Mm-hmm. I've got Anthony Richardson as the offensive player of the year. I think he's going to put up stupid numbers, but I don't think Florida is still going to have any defense. So he's going to be able to put up like 4,500 yards passing, 1,500, like just absolutely ridiculous numbers, like Will Levis on steroids, because that's basically what he looks like.
I think it's hard to pick against Bryce Young. I think he's going to put up some stupid numbers. Coach of the year, I like Lane Kiffin as my coach of the year. He's going to finish second in the West.
I've got Pittman.
He's going to go to New Year's Six Bowl for the second year in a row. You got the Pitt boss. I love that. I love that pick. You have Jahmyr Gibbs as your rookie of the year.
Yep.
I have Jackson Dart as my.
I mean, either way,
I think it's
6-1 my half day or the other then.
Yeah, but I think Dart's going to make a huge, huge impact. Mm-hmm. And then my first fire is Eli Drinkwitz.
If you want to go just about best pure player in their first year, though, I think it was Cyrus Torrence, the guard at Florida, who transferred over from Louisiana with Napier, is actually the best player, who is a first-year player in the SEC. He's an All-American.
Giving that lineman a shout-out. I love it. Yes.
I mean, lineman for life, baby. Guys, let's then head over to the Pac-12. And in the Pac-12, obviously the entire news over the offseason was everything that has transpired with first USC themselves hiring Lane Kiffin and bringing the Oklahoma roster with him. And then it's to
they fired Lincoln Riley again.
I'm sorry. Did I say Lane Kiffin?
They hired Lane. Well, I was like, what year did we just go to? 2007?
You know what? Wait, no. I think that was
2010.
I don't know. What year
did you just leave Tennessee?
I don't know. Maybe
2010.
No, yes.
So who's your first fired in the SEC, by the way?
Oh, Harsin.
Okay.
Harsin.
Yeah, I could see that.
So anyway.
I don't think he's fired, though. I think he leaves.
Lincoln Riley is now the coach at USC. He brought along Caleb Williams, Mario Williams, and some other Oklahoma kids, and a bunch of kids who are committed to play to Oklahoma are now committed to play USC. But no, he never tampered with anyone or anything like that. No, he would never do such a thing. USC, UCLA.
No tampering rules anymore.
USC, UCLA are heading to the Big Ten soon. That's going to be weird. I don't know how I feel about a regular game season in the Rose Bowl as a both Wisconsin and UCLA fan. And who knows what's going to happen to the rest of the crumbling Pac-12. However, in the meantime, there's still a conference with 12 teams, and some of those teams are really, really freaking good. Who does that include? That includes Utah. Yes.
Love Utah.
Utah is absolutely freaking stacked again.
I know Ohio State is they got every bit of Utah, and they were glad that game was over.
Absolutely, yeah. And the other thing about Utah is, I mean, you know they're going to have a defense.
Best helmets in the conference, too.
The double U's.
Yeah.
And, yeah. I mean,
the retro. I even like the U with the circle and the feather.
All of them are good. The big question, though, is who is the second best team in the Pac-12 South? And all three of us have UCLA. I would like to think that's on merit. For me, that is definitely tinged with homerism, but that's okay. I think
Zach Charbonnet has a big to do with that. And I think
Dorian Thompson Robinson
as well. I mean, Zach Charbonnet is preseason first team all conference. Dorian Thompson Robinson is second team all conference. You got Jake Bobo, also second team all conference wide receiver. You got a bunch of defensive guys, Bo Calvert, that's preseason all conference to name one at least. I just think that they're a team kind of that they're just on the rise. They're just playing really good football in year three, and kind of like what Ole Miss is in the SEC, and kind of like what Florida State is now under Mike Norvell. They're just kind of slowly on the rise.
Josh, how long does it take for you? Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, building off of, you know, Coach started to talk about Chip Kelly there, and I'll be honest, towards the end of his NFL experience and even like his a little bit at Oregon, I just caught every now and then some very disinterested looks from him. And at the beginning of his UCLA tenure, I also thought he kind of looked still disinterested. He's like, does he really enjoy this coaching gig? But I saw a lot of fire from him last year. He then signed that contract and stuff. So I think he's got his fire back. I think he's got his competitive juices flowing again. And he's got,
it's hard not to walk into that facility and not be fired up, man.
Yeah. So, and I mean, I don't know if I'm the only one beating the drum, but I certainly have probably said it the most on this show. And that's just Lincoln Riley's teams have gotten worse each year, and his teams have always been soft. And he's not a coach that I really loved before he did Oklahoma dirty. And I certainly don't like him now. So maybe I'm doing some similar homerism as you, Matt.
He is the first coach to leave Oklahoma for another college job since like 1946, I want to say, 1942, something like that.
That's impressive.
Yeah. And soft isn't going to cut it when you got to play Utah and even UCLA. And even honestly, if you're playing at Colorado, Carl Durrell has those boys fired up. They are at a talent massive disadvantage. So is Arizona. Both of those teams are just like, let's be frank, they're going to be non-factors. But you know,
are you telling me that leaving your conference when you had all these great rivalry games like Colorado and Nebraska wasn't smart?
Once Nebraska left the Big Ten, left the Big 12 for the Big Ten. But I think the North is where things are going to get interesting, because Oregon still has the most talent on paper. All of us are super high on Washington State. Josh, why? I know why I like Washington State, but tell me why you like Washington State.
Oh, boy. I mean, where to begin? I mean, let's see. We spent all of last season telling them to hire their interim coach that everyone loves him. And they did. They played their absolute hearts out for him every single week. So starting right there with your coach in place, you have to like that. From there, just, you know, what kind of talent does Dickert have? Well, a lot of it. I mean, you got Cameron Ward.
Oh, my God. He's so good. He's
kind of good.
But not only do they have Cameron Ward, they got his offensive coordinator from Houston Baptist, where they were setting records, where he won the freaking FCS Heisman in the spring season of 2021.
They have incredible receiver room to go with. So they're passing. It's crazy. You think like, oh, how are you going to improve on the Pirates passing attack? I think they will.
Yeah, I think they absolutely will.
And then their defense really improved under Dickert. And that's kind of one of the reasons I was banging the hire this guy button as hard as I could. I think they're going to have a pretty good defense again. So a lot to love about this Wazoo team.
Well, another defense is going to be good, though, is Oregon coach. And they've got Dan Lanning as their coordinator. And all of us have Noah Sewell as
the defensive. And their head coach.
Yeah. Well, sorry. Yeah. Well, and all of us have Noah Sewell, their outstanding linebacker, as the defensive player of the year. Coach, what makes Oregon better than the rest of the competition here in the South, especially on the defensive side of the ball?
Well, I mean, I think you look at scheme for one. I mean, you know, I think there's somebody that can take advantage of all the talent that they have. It's going to be Dan Lanning. It doesn't hurt that they return seven starters on the defensive side of the ball. They return their entire defensive line, minus DJ Johnson, who's the only newcomer at defensive end. They return Noah Sewell. They're going to get mostly new secondary guys, guys that didn't start, but probably guys that played. Jamal Hill's the lone starter returning in the defensive backfield. I mean, they just again they're gonna play hard. This new scheme is going to take advantage of what Noah Sewell does very, 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 very well. He's gonna, you know, Dan Lanning is gonna make damn sure that Noah Sewell is his version of N'Kobe Dean.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think that's sort of what everyone is anticipating. And, you know, Sewell, former five-star high school recruit, you know, as athletic as a linebacker as you're going to find, but you know, he's not the only athletic linebacker in that conference. I mean, we talked about Utah, Muhammad Diabude, who transferred from Florida. He's going to be a really, really good one as well. Looking a little bit further down though, in the North, Stanford was really underwhelming the last couple of seasons. I actually see them
they're trending down.
Yeah, but I actually think that their offensive line, again, I'm offensive line guy, you know that, but I think their offensive line is nasty. Like, I think that their offensive line,
you gonna do tackle eligible every play and throw it to your offensive lineman?
They might as well. No, I realize
it's a bad idea.
Washington though, I think Washington is the team to watch out for. Washington and Josh likes Oregon State. So Josh,
I'm not against Josh on that either. I like Oregon State too. Josh, okay. Chance Nolan is somebody that, has a chance to do something.
What I like about Oregon State,
it's the last year of Research Stadium too, right?
Yeah. What I like about Oregon State is, they're getting their audition for the Big Ten in early this year. They are going to pound the rock. They lost their starting running back from last year, but the three guys that they have coming in, they're going to be a three-headed monster. They're running behind a pretty good offensive line, so they're going to be a pretty physical outfit. I'm curious, Matt, why you like Washington. I got the Jimmy Lake stank holding over them for at least another year. It's hard to clean that out.
I got that Kalen DeBoer perfume and a enough talent on the defensive side of the ball to mask the odors that will still be coming from the
offense.
There
is some sort of pile of doo-doo somewhere in that facility it's going to take them a year to find.
It's like the Office when Todd Packard crapped in Michael's office.
The last thing I will say, though,
Jimmy Lake just left a huge festery turd in the middle of
perennial darling Justin Wilcox's Cal squad. Guys, it's time to be worried for our friend Mr. Wilcox, because
maybe this is a blessing in disguise. Maybe he can go get another job somewhere eventually, because that was just an odd fit altogether. I mean, but offensive coordinator Bill Musgrave just hasn't. They return, what, three starters on offense. This is going to be brutal. And five on defense.
It's going to be really bad. And I'm very concerned about Cal. I still don't have him as the first fired, though. I still don't have Wilcox as the first fired. That would be Herm Edwards, because that program is just a scandal every other week happening.
Herm Edwards might get fired tomorrow. Like that program is.
I didn't know you could for the purposes of tracking this. I didn't know you could select the coach that's on double secret probation.
Anyway,
they're still paying him, I guess. So he counts.
Anyway, we've all got Utah as the league champ. I've got Offensive Player of the Year. Josh and I both have Dorian Thompson-Robinson. Coach has Utah's quarterback, Tavian Thomas, who we didn't even talk about, who is outstanding.
Running back.
Tavian Thomas, who is outstanding in his own right. Defensive Player of the Year, clean sleep for Noah Sewell. Coach of the Year. I've got Jake Dicker because I've got Wazoo being really, really good. And I think that in his first year as a full-time head coach, they're going to honor that. Josh is high on Oregon State and Jonathan Smith. Well, coach likes Kyle Whittingham, who never gets enough respect. So, you know, why not?
It's like the Rodney,
Rodney Dangerfield of head coaches. Kyle Whittingham the Rodney Dangerfield of head coaches? Guillermo put it on the poll.
Yes. No, the actual coach of the year is going to be Herm Edwards. He's going to get fired so fast that Arizona State goes on a run and they go to a bowl game. So he actually improves the program by getting fired.
Well, that would be helpful. Okay, let's clean it. Let's finish the show off over in the Big 12. Josh, take it away for us.
All right. Well, you kind of have a very clear demarcation in this conference. So we'll start with the teams that really have no chance whatsoever at winning. Kansas, as always, dead last, but they're still improving. Lance Leopold is improving every day, every week. They're getting a little bit better. Twitter feed,
they're definitely improving.
I think next year they will not end in the basement. I think they're growing. TCU, brand new coach. Texas Tech, brand new coach. West Virginia will have a brand new coach next year because I've got Neil Brown as the first fired. And then that's the demarcation. Those teams, they're not going anywhere. I honestly have nothing that I really like about either of these teams. Do you guys want to share anything about these teams?
West Virginia will be friskier than you think.
Okay, yeah. So they'll go 5-7 instead of 4-8. All right.
Correct.
Because TCU, Texas Tech, and Kansas are worse.
Texas Tech will be an above 500 team in 2024.
Mike Leach ain't walking through that door. Michael Crabtree ain't walking through that door.
No.
I'm a McGuire guy.
Call me a hater.
I'm a McGuire guy. What can I say?
I mean, for his sake, I hope he's good, but Texas Tech has got a long way to go.
They do.
Regardless of who the head coach is.
Yeah. All right. So smack dab right there in the middle, I got UT Austin. They're not back. Tons of hype, as you would expect. Tons of talk about their big signing at quarterback. A Manning.
Well, he's not even playing this year, so it doesn't even matter.
I know. It's a little premature hype, I think, for what Texas has. There's so many holes for this team. They went 5-7 last year. They looked like Sark's old Washington teams and USC teams, and by that I mean really sloppy and not prepared for most games. Anyone want to disagree? Nope. All right.
I had a hangover joke in there, but I decided it was distasteful. So I'd also just want to say, yeah, and it's not going well. Like Isaiah Nayer, who was supposed to be one of their big transfer portal pickup at wide receiver, he got injured and he's now gone, it looks like. And so, I mean, it's just injuries are not going their way in fall camp. I am super down on Texas. Personally, I have been finishing fifth in the conference. And you could even talk me into sixth with Iowa State, because I think Iowa State at least has a defense.
Iowa State's pretty good. Yeah. Even though they lost Isheem Young to Ole Miss.
Yeah, but I mean they still like Will McDonald's might be the best pass rusher in the conference.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's the problem for me with Iowa State is I love their defense. Brock Purdy gone, but hey, with some of the mistakes he was making towards the end of the season, maybe that's addition by subtraction. But I think Pete Campbell's team will be nice, bowl team, but I don't have them contending. Oklahoma State's defense was phenomenal last year, but it's going to have a whole lot of new people, so I do not have a return trip to the title game with them. So this is where the clear demarcation happens. Baylor, Oklahoma, Kansas State, throw all those names into a hat, pick one out. One of them is winning the championship. And, you know, these teams are – they're just a complete package, whereas all the other teams in this conference have really noticeable flaws. Starting with Kansas State, Deuce Vaughn, we all love him. I've got him as player of the year. I think you did too, Matt. Did you coach?
That is correct. I do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oklahoma, you look at the names they still have. It's still a who's who of some really talented players. Dylan Gabriel, a great quarterback to get.
Yeah, I'm curious about Dylan Gabriel. I've got him as my rookie of the year in the Big 12.
Same.
But
I do too.
It's really interesting, right? I mean, it's been a minute since he had his injury. But, you know, I don't know. What's he going to look like moving from UCF over to the Big 12? And I'm very, very interested.
Similar league.
They don't play defense in the Big 12, so he'll be fine.
Well, I'm also curious, though, about just in Oklahoma in general, right? New coach, Brent Venables.
They've had some quite the controversy over there at Oklahoma last week.
Yeah,
with Cale Gundy. I don't know if you guys saw that, but
yeah, Cale Gundy, and he's apparently not afraid to use a certain racial epithet, even if he's reading it off of the screen of one of his players.
He was a little too excited to read it.
He was a little too excited to read it, and like. When your ally, like it's all like, always be careful who your allies are. When your ally is Joe Mixon, when it comes to something like this, like I'm not sure if that's the guy you want in your corner. Someone I do though want in my corner is Dave Aranda. I think everyone would want Dave Aranda in their corner. Mm-hmm. Everyone would want Dave Aranda as their strategist, especially when it comes to defense. And I think just like kind of in general,
He's definitely the Rodney Dangerfield of head coaches in the Big 12, man. Like, that dude gets like no credit whatsoever. I mean, that dude just worked Ole Miss in the Sugar Bowl. Got two safeties drafted that no one's ever heard of before.
He had two running backs drafted that no one had heard of the year before too. Like, and yeah. I also think that they have the best. I have Baylor and Kansas State as my top two teams at the conference, and that's for a couple reasons. I think they both have excellent defenses and excellent offensive lines, and yes, I know it's the Big 12 where they throw it all around. That's actually we're not quite at that extreme anymore outside of, you know, I don't even know what Texas Tech is going to be doing.
I think the SEC was like, you know what, we're going to play less defense. And the Big 12 is like, yeah, we need more defense.
So I'm high in Baylor and Kansas State. I think that those are the two best defenses, those are the two best offensive lines. I have Baylor finishing with a better regular season record, Kansas State winning the title game on the back of Deuce Vaughn and then Chris Klieman winning coach of the year. And I think that it's a wild year in the Big 12, and if Oklahoma State won, it wouldn't surprise me either because their defensive line is freaking nasty.
I like Baylor to win it.
Okay,
I got Baylor as well.
Dave Aranda, coach of the year. Even though same. I could anywhere from third to last, I could probably reshuffle and it could fall any sort of way. I just have a hard time. You know, I think if Deuce Vaughn can stay healthy, he could be the offensive player of the year. But I think my contingency plan, if Deuce Vaughn inevitably gets injured, is going to be Spencer Sanders.
I don't think it's inevitable that he gets injured.
How many games has he played?
Most?
400. Oh, sorry. I thought you were talking about Xbox.
Yeah. I swear to you, Deuce Vaughn was out like every other week.
Deuce Vaughn played every single one of Kansas State's games in 2020 and every single one of Kansas State's games in 2021.
I'm thinking of somebody else then.
But how many did he finish? You're probably thinking about Kansas State's old quarterback.
That's it. Everyone kept buying stock and he just kept missing games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Okay. Skylar
Thompson.
There you go. Yep. Now we're cooking with gasoline here.
Yeah. But so Matt, you like Kansas State. You're all aboard the Adrian Martinez experience?
I mean, at least he'll be there, unlike Skylar Thompson.
I'm calling you the minute he throws his first interception.
So you're calling me at 11:06 Central on opening weekend is what you're saying.
Yep.
Alrighty then.
That sounds about right. Okay, but
you should be like, hey Matt, did you see this interception? Did you see it?
So
his voice is going to get notably higher.
You guys both have Neil Brown as the first fired. I've got Sark. I've got Texas not going bowling again and them cutting the cord on Sark.
I think they give him the next recruiting class. His recruiting's been so good.
He's got Arch Manning on the hook.
You're probably right. Maybe that's wishful thinking. Him. But
the oil tycoons are like, man, we got some Manning. Fire up that brisket.
Fire up the brisket. All right. Well, boys, we will fire up the brisket when we are back next time around. We'll be previewing Group of Five, Independence, and a little week zero action next week. It's great to be back, guys. This is always a pleasure. So that's
Bedlam, folks.
Yeah. It's and that's going to do it for us here today on the Illegal Motion College Football Podcast. So, on behalf of our own offensive coordinator, the coach, Corey Burton, in Nashville, Tennessee, and our intrepid blogger from Big Ten and County, Josh Cook, up there in Chicago, Illinois, this is the Professor Emeritus in the Music City saying so long and see you next time on the Illegal Motion College Football Podcast.
You dig?
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And it's your last chance to get more fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this limited-time bundle ends June 30th. Save now at cedarpoint.com.